Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up? Welcome in. This is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the radio edition. On the radio.
On the radio.
Bogman, Welsh, In This League over here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We've got 3 hours coming up for you. Lots and lots of football. Casey Bubba in the third hour. Back in the house. But celebrate good time. Dodgers lose.
Dodgers lose and they go down again. 31 years and counting. Da-da.
Elevator of sadness. I wish that they had. Is it bad that we...
They have traffic jam of sadness.
Oh my God. Bogman, we should...
Can you imagine driving home? It takes you 3 hours. Probably takes you 2 hours to get out of the parking lot.
Here's a picture I want. I want the scoreboard with the seventh inning and then just massive traffic in the background as people are just leaving games because that's what they always do. The traffic jam of sadness. That is what the Dodgers are. That is so magnificent. The Dodgers, sadly, are kind of the West Coast New York Yankees. Like, nobody likes them but Dodgers fans. Like, people can be ambivalent about other teams, you know, whatever. People be like, oh, yeah, the A's. Like me, like, I'm a Diamondbacks fan. I grew up around the A's. That's cool. But, like, you don't like the Dodgers unless you're a true Dodgers fan. You can't just casually be like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm kind of, you know, people like, I'm rooting for a team. You don't root for the Dodgers. And the internet always wins, Bogman. At the end of the day, it always wins because I'm scrolling through after Clayton Kershaw gives up the homer. I'm kind of scrolling through the internet, and I find what might be the internet's masterpiece of masterpiece. And I share it in our GroupMe room, and I text it to Bogman, and it is a picture of the Joker poster, but superimposed as the Joker is Clayton Kershaw. The blue paint over the eye is the LA logo, and the title of the movie is called Choker.
Oh God, it makes me so happy. You know, it makes me so happy.
Dodgers fans are all tuning this out right now.
That's fine. You know, they're still going to be stuck in traffic anyway. Right. So that's all that matters.
They might still be there.
They might still be trying to leave the game. It was just, It was so great. And the funniest thing is you know, I think it was like 2 years ago, I kept recommending people to pick up Howie Kendrick because he was whatever, you know, he was decent.
Wasn't I giving you crap? Well, I was like, oh, yeah, Howie Kendrick party.
Yeah, oh, look, it's a Howie Kendrick party again. Blah, blah, blah. We're talking about Howie Kendrick. And that was what I said in our groomy room. I was like, it's the Howie Kendrick party. And our guy Soria was like, it was 2 years in the making.
You know what I feel
That's
bad
exactly
for, too?
What happened?
I don't want to disclose people's personal business, but we have a close friend who has, we have a close friend that knows of Joe Kelly, if I can say it like that, if that's a
right, yeah.
Has like, there's a relationship in there, and like Joe Kelly, murder ball, four earned runs, two walks, two strikeouts. And there was a thing online that was just like Red Sox fans and Dodger fans right now, and just all in solidarity of Joe Kelly. And I think the thing that's got people up in arms too, because I mean, obviously you guys should know, but Washington wins in extra innings, 7-3. They scored four runs in the 10th, and that was off of Joe Kelly. And Clayton Kershaw was the one that, you know, gave up, I think, the 2-run shot to tie the game. And
it was back to back solo shots.
That's what it was. Yeah. Sorry, it was the back to back. And the thing that Dave Roberts said was like, I couldn't think of a better person to put in the ninth than Joe Kelly. And it was like, what? Like, how about Kenley
that
Jansen?
Closer that you're paying millions and millions and millions of dollars to? And that was the weird thing, too, is, you know, they had said we may not even use Kenley because Kenley hasn't had a good year. You know, he's not been great. And,
you know, who's had a better year than Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly. I mean, we've seen Joe Kelly choke in the playoffs so many times. We've seen Clayton Kershaw choke in the playoffs so many. Kershaw. We've seen him choke in the playoffs so many times. I just don't understand why you keep going back to the same stuff. But I do love it. I honestly love it. And I felt, you know, I sent a text to our buddy who's the Dodger fan. And I said, look, man, you know, While I am genuinely enjoying this, I legitimately feel bad for you, you know, and because I do, I do because we've all been to that, you know, where your team gets really close and they just can't make, I mean, you're a Suns fan, you know, better than anybody. When they keep getting close and close and close and just can't get over that hump. Whatever it is. I mean, the reason I don't feel nearly as bad for him as I do for other people is because they're just going to pay their way into the playoffs every single year. Like, they're going to keep going and going and going to the playoffs. They've been, I think, every year since 2012 or something like that. And, you know, it's just NLDS, NLCS, NLDS, NLCS, or, you know, the last two seasons, World Series losses. So, It is fun to watch, and it's fun, you know, you see the Dodgers just be this dominant team with 100 wins, and then they get to play five extra games, and that's it.
It's a great time. It's the best time. I mean, and we can do it as, you know, you're a Diamondback fan, so we're the ones that are going to relent on it. But it's pretty brutal because, I mean, was there a more consensus, like, World Series team than the Dodgers?
No, and To be honest, my pick was the Astros to win, but I thought the Dodgers would get there again. And, you know, as much as I did want to see them get to the World Series and choking it for 3 years in a row and maybe next year, too, to become the Buffalo Bills of the baseball playoffs, you know, let's just not let them get there. That's fine. You know, I'm all about it. So. And I'll be, you know what, in honor of taking out the Dodgers, I'm thinking I'm rooting for the Nats for the rest of the playoffs.
Going to be a Nats fan this year, huh?
I mean, even though Steven Strasburg is there, I mean, hell, you know, two of their starting pitchers are Diamondback products anyway, Patrick Corbin and Max Scherzer.
Well,
so.
We can't root for the Cardinals because they have Paul Goldschmidt, and they did that thing. So they're
I can root for Paul Goldschmidt. It's not his fault he got traded, you know, and the D-backs got a bit swindled. So it ain't his fault. You know what I mean? So that's fine. I don't care. You know, the Diamondbacks are going to have their fingerprints on the NL team going into the World Series anyway. I think my favorite part of the NLDS with the Dodgers is wasn't AJ Pollock like 0 for 12 with 10 strikeouts?
I think I saw it was 0 for 11. Or no, it might have been 0 for 13 with 11 strikeouts.
Love it.
I mean,
love it.
No,
I've never been an AJ Pollock guy anyway, but
really?
Yeah, I know. Everyone's surprised to hear that. But he signs with the Dodgers and it's kind of like, come on, man, what are you doing? And he gets to choke with all of them. And then we get to see, you know, Patrick Corbin and Gerardo Parra celebrating with the Nats. I'm all about it. So
it was crazy. And the other one was probably pretty brutal for, you know, at least a lot of our listeners. So there's a decent contingency of Cardinals versus Braves. But how about, you know, going into a game five and then the Cardinals just shellacking the Braves 13-1, ending, you know, what was probably, if not at least close to an MVP campaign for Ronald Acuna. And, you know, the Braves had really gone in this year, signing, you know, Donaldson, they brought in Dallas Keuchel. I mean, they did everything but, you know, bring in an actually good, really good closer. But Fulte gets shellacked for 6 earned runs, only at 7 total runs, only goes a third of an inning. And Flaherty put out a gem. And Flaherty is going to be an amazing fantasy conversation next year because I'm not sure, has there been anybody that has been better from the essentially the All-Star break on? I mean, Flaherty is in the top 3 of maybe best, most improved players from that standpoint, because Flaherty was really tapering off in the first half of the year and goes 6, strikes out 8 in the game. And it still just sucks seeing Paul Goldschmidt's name. Can you imagine if Paul Goldschmidt goes to the World Series after being traded?
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said before, I'm okay with that. I don't begrudge Goldie. I kind of want to root for him, you know, but I can't. Now that the Nats have done my favorite thing in the playoffs and eliminated the Dodgers, I have to. That's my team now. You know, I have to root for the Nats.
You know, that's a great point. You know, you actually just kind of sold me here. Because they knocked out the Dodgers, we almost just have to be with them. Today, right. We are.
It's
team.
Not like the Giants, you know.
No.
If the Giants knocked out the Dodgers, I'd be like, yeah, Giants, but all right,
like
let's
the
get them out of there now.
You know, like who's like out there like rooting for the Braves, gets excited about them if you're not like an Atlanta fan. But there's something about the Nationals, I mean, they performed, you know, it's like a national, they're heroes. They deserve the Purple Heart. Like what they did was heroic for taking out the Dodgers.
And they're like the junior version of the Dodgers, too. Like they keep making the playoffs and then not advancing ever. So it's kind of cool to see them finally advance. And it would be even cooler to see them get to the World Series. But and it's just like, you know, you look at some of those Nats players and, you know, you just harken back to the old D-backs team with Scherzer, Corbin, Danny Hudson was in there rocking the other night, and then Gerardo Parra as well. And it's just like, man, I've seen a lot of these dudes. So it's not hard to just root for them, you know? And I mean, are you really, really staunchly against Goldie now?
I'm not staunchly, you know, it's easier to be like, okay with what happened with what the Diamondbacks did, because we honestly get to walk away. And this is pointed out to so many people pointed this out to us. The Diamondbacks were a true addition by subtraction. They found what might be a diamond in the rough in Christian Walker. Though, you know, something to consider was I chatted with Seth Beer of the Arizona Diamondbacks out here in the Arizona Fall League, and he's exclusively working at first base. Like the Diamondbacks have him only as a first baseman now. And the reason I say this is he was an outfielder with the Astros. He was working out in left field. So he is strictly a big power first baseman, very similar to Christian Walker. And they've got CJ Crone, Kevin Crone, not CJ. I wish they had CJ Crone, but they got his brother. So they've got a bunch of these guys. Regardless of that, none of them were involved in that trade, by the way. But they had the addition by subtraction. You lose Goldie, and Carson Kelly became an absolutely top half of the league catcher, especially in fantasy. He's a viable top 12 type of a guy. And then, you know, they've got Andy Young. They had a compensation pick. And then Luke Weaver looked fantastic. So the Diamondbacks got better. I mean, you know, for us, we can walk away happy thinking they traded Goldschmidt and they traded Zach Greinke. They got all the money off the books and they added 8 prospects between all of them. And that's Seth Beer. That's Luke Weaver. That's Carson Kelly. They actually did good. And I grosses me out to admit it, but there is still something about seeing like your favorite player on another team that makes you, you know, want to like
see him never be back in the league. And I tell you what I couldn't do was I could not watch one of the last series of the year was the Cardinals came here to Arizona and Paul Goldschmidt was sitting on 99 homers at Chase Field and he hit his 100th in a Cardinal uniform. And, you know, he got a standing ovation, everything. People here still appreciate everything he did for the franchise and all that stuff. And, you know, just even a better person in the community than a player, too. Like he spent a lot of his free time at PCH, which is Phoenix Children's Hospital out here. So like just a great dude. So it was tough to lose him. And that was tough to see, you know, him come back and hit his 100th homer in a different uniform and, you know, knowing that the Diamondbacks aren't going to the playoffs and the Cardinals are and all that stuff that I didn't want to see. But this now him in the playoffs helping his new team, that's fine to me. I don't care. So, you know, and like I said, D-backs are going to have their fingerprints on the World Series regardless of who makes it from the NL. So
I'll tell you this.
All about it.
We are going to get, well, I shouldn't say this. It might not happen, but there's a potential we might get inundated during first pitch conference, which is a little bit of sleight of hand we're doing here because you guys are listening to this on Saturday, which is closing to the end of first pitch and the Fall Stars game. You guys actually might be listening to this and the Fall Stars game is coming up, which we're going to be out, but there's going to be no shortage of us getting just hit left and right about people being like, how about that Goldie trade? You know, happy now? Like we got it when it happened, but it is going to be interesting because I know we're in this the midst of football, but we're in a baseball week. This is a baseball weekend where you've got playoffs, you've got a movement towards a World Series, and there's first pitch. Every one of the, I mean, not everyone, but, you know, 80% of probably your favorite fantasy baseball analysts are out here in Phoenix right now. Jason Collette was hitting us up. You got Spohr, you got Eno Saris, you got a bunch of new people that are going to be out here. And we are going to just be chucking it up all freaking weekend. And people have probably already seen it up on our Twitter and creating some content, having some fun and talking crap about the Dodgers, hopefully.
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know any other Dodger fans, I think, really, mainly because I don't want to.
Why would you?
I
mean, yeah, why would you?
It's funny. Our buddy Jag is just the only guy that I want to know.
Well, I mean, also like there's probably a correlation. It might not just be that we don't find other Dodger fans. It's that they run from
us.
Stay
away from those D-back psychos.
Yeah, they've completely tuned out. So a lot of cool baseball stuff. Tons more to talk about. Maybe more content dropping on the ITL Fantasy Baseball podcast in the near future. But we got a lot to talk about in this episode. We are going to hit up the DFS. Did we get Drew promised we were going to get an update, and I haven't seen an update. Drew, dropping the ball, man. I think we might have won something. One of us was, I don't even know what we're at anymore.
I don't think we won anything.
No, we won something last week. I know something was brutal. Who knows? But we are going to be setting some DFS lineups, DraftKings and FanDuel, and there's some pretty good, interesting buys this week. We're going to be going through all the action that has got in store for week six. My 49ers, 4-0. No big deal, Boggs. No big deal.
Yeah, congratulations.
We'll talk about how the Steelers doing.
1-4.
1-4. They can come back, right? Everyone comes back. How many teams have gone 1-4?
In the AFC North, it is definitely a possibility.
That's a great point. Steelers could still win that division. So we got a whole lot more coming up. Casey Bubba in the third hour. So don't go anywhere. More in this league right here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Welcome back. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come and join us on patreon.com/ITL Army, brand new secret show we just dropped this week. I think I titled it You Wouldn't Get the Joke, which is a good reference because we are reviewing Joker or Choker. We actually just reviewed Choker, a great movie. Give it a 10 out of 10. Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers. And we're reviewing Joker with Jacques. I can never say
Joaquin.
His name. Joaquin. Dude, I swear to God.
Like, just think of it as walking.
I know.
Joaquin.
I did this 2 days ago where I kept like saying his name over and I'm like, this is easy. Why can't I do this? It's just the thing. You know what I mean? There's always that thing. I'll always get
you're
it wrong.
You're like Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs.
It's
like,
you with Clayton Kershaw.
You choke.
No.
Oh, I tell you what was bothering the crap out of me last weekend is I was watching the SMU is ranked. They're in the top 25 right now, and it's been a long time since they have been, and they were getting their asses kicked by Tulsa, and they start making this comeback, and they're about to kick a field goal, and the announcer says it is a 55-yard field goal attempt, and Welsh, I don't know why, but when he said it like that, field goal, it drove me crazy because he kept saying it like that, like they're two some weird detached words.
Oh, so he did it multiple times because I was gonna
multiple times. Field goal.
Okay, because I was gonna say you might be getting a little internet trolly because we'll say things weird one time, but if he did it multiple times, ooh, that's rough.
Right. Like, and yeah, I was like, why did he say field goal like that the first time? And then, you know, they were,
you're like, that was weird.
They're trading field goals. So he was like, field goal. I'm like, do you not know what a field goal is? It's like he's adding a question onto it.
I actually wish there
field
was
a goal.
I wish there was like a camera on you because like I can envision like you started being like, what's happening here? And then you like getting like, it's kind of annoying. And then finally you're just screaming at the top of your lungs.
Stop
at the
it.
TV. Stop it.
Why are you saying it like that?
So who was this?
I asked, I was recording with I can't remember. I can see his face. It's
I wish
ESPN
you knew
because
you should search his name on ESPN. And I wonder if there's like a whole group of you out there that are just like, it's field goal.
Well, you know how I get about that little stuff. Like it starts to, I don't know why, but it's like it starts to like Festers. Really pickaxe at me, and I hate it
oh,
so
sure.
much.
Yeah.
But he kept field goal, and I was like, you know, he's like, when your voice goes up at the end when you're talking about something, it was almost like that. The field goal.
I know those little things. It's like you're just talking about this, but you know, where the people's voice get up. Like one of my least favorite things on the planet is when you're talking to somebody, especially in an interview format, and they don't know how to articulate the end of a sentence. Like they're just talking and then it just stops. And you're like, what? Like, no, you have to let me know this is the end of a sentence. Cause sometimes they'll do this and then you're like, oh, I need to come in. And they're like, well, I'm not finished. Okay. I don't know what's happening here. So please stop. Please utterly stop that. So
please stop. God, I'm trying to find him.
Find his name.
I know.
Get the clip.
I know as soon as I see his face. Oh my God. I know as soon
Why'd
as I see
his
face.
Why'd you type in SMU field goal announcer? And maybe that'll come up like on Twitter.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay, all you right. do that.
But I'm gonna keep searching because I can't find it.
Yeah, you do that. Right. But just reminder, patreon.com/ITL Army, tons and tons of content in October. We've got some autograph giveaway stuff that's going on Patreon. The brand new Secret Show, we reviewed The Joker. We talked about the top 10 worst lyrical songs of all time and Zombie Deers. So it was a really funny show, more than we usually do. It was like an hour and a half. And we're always dropping extra content over there amongst all the other stuff. Thursday night with Bogmans and stuff like that. So pretty easy and a way to support us to get some cool stuff. Patreon.com/ITL Army. Did you see AB on Twitter? What'd you call it? Like, I don't say I'm not like young or smart or anything anymore, but like, is it thirst trapped in? Is it like, is he creating a thirst trap? Like, what's he doing? I guess that would be like, you gotta like look good and do something. He's just out there being ridiculous. He did two super embarrassing things. First up was where he did the like, you know, Patriots still owe me money. They might as well play me. Like, that's just, that it's essentially like getting broken up with and being like, I still got your sweatshirt. Come have dinner with me. Like, you know, like let's get over that. And then this was the bad one. I hate this stuff. He went, retweet if your fantasy team misses me. And like 20,000 plus people were retweeting it. And it's like, don't fall into that trap. He's just trying to stay relevant. That is like social media manager stuff. You ever see on Instagram, I read this whole thing on it, on why these people do it, but you ever see like these, you know, these specific type of accounts that have millions of followers and they will put up the most basic bull crap, be like, so, you know, what are you eating today? Like, you know, what are we doing today? Like really stupid, idiotic, dumb waterhead type of questions. It's like, why are we posting about this? But what it is it's for algorithms and social media to stay relevant. You've got to have original content that gets tons of interaction. So these people will post these comments out so they can keep their algorithms at the top. That's all that Antonio Brown is doing. You retweet if your fantasy team misses me, and people are buying into it. Who cares about Antonio Brown and fantasy teams and anything anymore? Done. Over it. Though I may still be holding on to him in my dynasty league in 16 team.
yeah, man, this is something else I'm also kind of happy about, right? Like, people thought that Ben Roethlisberger was the psycho between those two guys. And while Ben Roethlisberger has been known to not be the nicest person in the world, he's not crazy like Antonio Brown is crazy. And it's funny, all of this stuff going down with him. And look, he just needs to go to the XFL, right? He just needs to go away.
That's interesting. I mean, I told you before, and I don't think the XFL is allowing felons to be in there. So
all those 21,000 people or whatever can, like those people should be banned from Twitter. The people that retweeted it, right? Like, yeah, cause we know
agree.
You are people that are completely self-centered, just like Antonio Brown. Like if you enjoy that, you have to either be, I mean, they could be trolls. They could be people that just, really like how he is crazy, you know, that maybe that's the thing, but it's most likely that those guys are just like they're the you know, AM/PM version of Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Like they're driving their bosses crazy and saying crazy stuff and then not showing up for their shift whenever they're supposed to be there, and you know, people hate them. That's probably what it is. Right.
Yeah, I'm shocked that we're still being in a like a relevant thing with him. Like I'm also shocked that he's still sitting and doing this like the Patriots have to pay me. Are they actually? I'm not sure they do. Like
I think they ruled that they do have to pay.
Oh, they
him.
Do?
And it's like $9 million. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
well, but
it was no, a signing bonus.
They cut him the day before. They already paid him like $5 million. But they cut him the day before he would be due a $4 million bonus on the guarantee. It was tied to like just showing up, I think, in the first couple weeks of practice. So they cut him right before the $4 million portion of it. I thought that's what was being discussed.
By the way, there was one other tweet from Brandon Murata on Twitter. He says, I really hate the way the announcer for this Tulsa and SMU game pronounces field goal.
Oh, you found it?
That's the only thing I found on. That's it. And he is, let's see, it says he is, he's a YouTuber from Arizona.
No, apparently it's an Arizona thing.
we can have a meeting about how much we hate this guy. His name is Anish Shroff is the guy's name. I'm trying to find it.
Is that the announcer or is that a?
Yeah, that's the announcer. I'm trying to find it. I can't find it. There's just not. There were all me and this other guy on Twitter are the only two people that were aggravated about him saying field goal.
How is that possible? Does field that actually goal. Make you more mad that like more people were pissed off?
It does. It does. It makes me more angry about it now.
I totally agree. That's how I work.
Oh, God. Come on. How can we be the only people that notice this?
I don't know.
I feel like the gif of Mugatu. Doesn't anybody notice this?
I
feel like
crazy
I'm taking
pills?
Crazy pills.
Oh, geez, that is absolutely crazy. Like Antonio Brown. Like Antonio Brown crazy.
That's Antonio Brown crazy, ooh. Yeah.
What would you rather have to do? Listen to that guy for a full game and there's like 9 field goals or have notifications turned on your Twitter for your phone for Antonio Brown?
I listen to the field goal games. So okay. I'm done. I am done with Antonio Brown. Like he is beyond my problem anymore, right? He is way gone.
I think when the Raiders moved on to a new team and then he scored in the new team, you completely got your hands washed. Like you actually got to sit and laugh at everybody else now because you guys got picks and you got to see the world burn for everybody else.
Right. And it's funny because I was doing my snap count article that I do for our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Okay. I do that every week. And I was looking at stuff and it was funny that, this kind of so-called secret weapon, and I'm putting up air quotes, of course, for the Raiders is Foster Moreau. And do you know who Foster Moreau is?
Sure.
The island of Foster Moreau, right? he's a tight end out of UCLA. And the reason
all the Raiders they just have a whole team of tight ends.
Well, here's the thing is when they run two tight end sets and Foster Moreau is the second tight end and he's been on the field 46% of the time or more, 3-0. They're 3-0 with him. So they're scheming better with the two tight ends. And I'm just sitting there thinking like this team would be really good if they had an over-the-top presence, and that was Antonio Brown, man. You know, if Antonio Brown had stayed with Oakland, they might be a fairly dangerous team right now. And it's just unfortunate because not only is Antonio Brown not there, Tyrell Williams is hurt, and they just traded for Zay Jones. I mean, they're on a bye week this week, so hopefully Tyrell will get better for their next game or whatever. But
it's been
ugly and it could have been good. It really could have been good.
If there was one place Zay Jones is going to go to, it was definitely Oakland. Hopefully low-rise hotels.
Well, I mean, what's their deal? Like they just got rid of a crazy person and they're like, oh, you know what? This guy has a video of him trying to jump out of a window. So why not? Right.
I mean,
let's just do this.
Why do the same teams continuously do these things as well? Like the Patriots seem to be, it's hit and miss a little bit, but they'll take on the head cases. But why is it always like the Bengals and the Raiders are going to just bring in the most questionable people in the NFL? And literally Vontaze Burfict played for those two teams.
Well, speaking of Vontaze Burfict, suspension upheld.
Are you just love like that? That's good news for you this week.
Oh my God, I love it. Are you kidding me? I the Dodgers are losing. Burfict is done. AB is done. Now, if the Steelers could just win a goddamn football game, I'd be happy.
You think you would? Will that actually make you happy, Bogman?
No.
Let's dig in. What makes you? What's going to make you happy?
You know what's weird? I mean, not things I could talk about on here.
Uh-oh.
The when I feel like I'm getting eerily jaded to football and football injuries,
like
when Mason Rudolph got hurt, I just like
you're being desensitized. You're just like, oh yeah, look, he's hurt.
Almost, you know, because it's like when Ben won't get rid of the ball, I'm like, get rid of the ball, dude. They're going to annihilate you. And, you know,
Joe he does $100
and they still hit him. No, I wasn't close there. Oh, okay. I was just trying to find the right word. But, you know, I'm watching Mason Rudolph scramble. I'm like, they are just about to light his ass up. Like, I just see it coming. And he threw the ball. And that was, I didn't know they were going to completely knock him into a limp noodle, but when he was on the ground, I felt nothing. I was just not surprised that he was on the ground. I was like, I guess it's just because it becomes predictable after you watch so much football and stuff. And it was weird because when I was watching the Cheez-It ball, I was like, why would a quarterback of a team throw that pass? And I said that 9 times because there were 9 interceptions in that bowl game. And it was just like, I'm in my mid 30s. I've just seen more football than this guy who plays quarterback.
What was your reaction before? Were you like, get upset or something? You get upset.
Yeah. I was like, God, like I would lament it. I'd be like, oh, our season's over. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's because I know the season's already over. Maybe that's why I'm just like,
oh, it's so much easier to see horrible things when you just don't care anymore.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to become jaded like that. I'd like to still have some passion.
Welcome to adulting.
Yeah, I don't like it. I want to go back to kidding. I don't like adulting. No thanks. Yeah, so,
what do you want to go back to?
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
It's seriously. So. Toys R Us. Did you know, by the way, I think I just read that Target. They went into bankruptcy and all the Toys R Us are gone. But Target is taking over, and I think they're taking over or like stocking the online ToysRUs.com. And I don't know if there's going to be any brick and mortar stores, but Toys R Us is coming back, and I think Target was at the forefront of it. Not that anybody cares. I just care. As a father who, you know, I spent my life going to Toys R Us, took my kids to Toys R Us, and now that there's no toy store, we're all just kind of like, well, what are we, like the John Travolta.
Is that over with? Like, is going to a toy store for kids, is that just done now?
Is it
online shopping for kids too? I mean,
no, I'll tell you this. I mean, I still keep it alive because, like, you know, when it's a birthday or Christmas time, I'll take the kids and we go to Walmart or Target and it'll be like, go look at the toys, see things in person, like physically, you know, hold toys and stuff like that. It's still necessary. The problem is, and I'm part of the problem here, we'll do that. And then I'll go buy it online. And like, we'll go to the store, we'll look at the stuff, and then I'll just go buy the thing online. So I'm part of that reason why those things are gone.
Family Guy had a bit about that where they were going to buy a new bed and they go into the bed store and they're trying out all the beds and they look at it. And then Lois takes a picture of it and she's like, I found it on Amazon. It's $800 cheaper. Let's buy it there.
That's essentially my life. That's what it's become. But yeah, getting old, it's part of the, I mean, it might actually be part of what makes the midlife crisis so big for most people is like you're starting to realize like, oh, I don't have friends. Do I have passions? You know, am I becoming more jaded? And then
I still have friends, so I'm okay there.
Yeah, well, you got one of them. That's good. I'm just saying, like, that's part of the process. You might be going through a version of your midlife crisis where you're seeing yourself get jaded, and you're just like, I mean, it's funny for you that your realization is via watching football. Like,
yeah, and by the way, midlife crisis. My midlife crisis was at 20, so I'm already kind of in the bonus, I think, of how long I'm going to go here. So we'll see.
You're being literal midlife crisis. Not like, I mean, because like the mid 30s is like the midlife crisis, but yeah, you're doing the.
Well, no, it's not. It's mid 40s is the midlife crisis.
Oh, is it really?
Jeez. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
It's after everyone gets divorced when they're 40 and then they, you know, they have trouble dating. So then they go and buy a motorcycle. So thinking, oh, this will get women. That's the midlife crisis right there.
Things are looking up for me. Great. That's really super positive. All right. We got to get the break. When we come back, we're going to get out of the midlife crisis conversation and we're going to get down to
BFS. I'm
going to
buy a motorcycle when we get back. That's what's going to happen. I'm going to shop online for it.
All right, good. Go to Amazon. Make sure you don't buy it at a motorcycle store. All right. Don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking.
In this league.
Break it down.
All right, welcome back. It is In This League. Bogman on Twitter, at Bogman Sports. You can find me on Twitter, at Is It The Welsh. It is Chris Welsh, not Welch, not the soda, not the things like that. You guys know where to find us. You guys can listen to this show live when it's airing over on the network. You can get it on the iHeartRadio app or the FNTSY app. Or you can just get us on the podcast where we're everywhere. Spotify, all the places that podcasts are. It's a beautiful weekend when you get a little boop, boop, boop. 3 hours dropped right into your lap and you can listen to it on the go whenever you want. Want to talk about some DFS? Even though we don't have any results, we should probably be tracking them, but we're not on how we did last week.
Yeah, well, you know. Drew, we keep going a day earlier and a day earlier. So Drew,
we have thrown the wrench in there. It's been a little bit earlier as we've been going, so that is our fault. But I do know what was his. Let me look at his last tweet to us.
I think he couldn't remember who did what, but you made eight and I made five, or I made eight and you made five, something like that.
Well, he said. This was on the 7th. All right, guys. Currently, one of you is winning in DK, and the other was 23 points away. We were toast in FanDuel. And he was going
to... Which is hilarious, because we always like our FanDuel lineup better.
Yeah, exactly. So one of us for sure won in DraftKings last week. So there's a possibility we're both in the...
Well, did either of us... I think I had Aaron Jones in one of the leagues.
Did you really? Oh.
And maybe Will Fuller. Maybe one of us had Will Fuller. We had to have somebody to cash.
Yeah,
you had to have one of those four guys that had that went nuts. That's Amari Cooper. Somebody.
Yeah, so. I just don't remember. Don't remember any of it. So we'll probably get a big old update that we can get for everybody in the next episode if you care. But always on the line are our wonderful internet points. That's right. You play our lineups and tell us you get awarded internet points. What can you redeem those points for? Well, maybe a reply on Twitter, a pound, maybe a handshake if we meet you in person. What are some other things? Maybe a lock of Bogman's hair?
No hair. I think the important thing is to just say that they have no cash value. So,
oh, okay. They can't redeem it for like a night at Bogman's house?
Yep, exactly. It's funny. I'm looking at some of our stuff here and our guy, Rob Russell, apparently there's just a blizzard going on in North Dakota. And he said, clean up the apartment, Bogman. I'm moving in. So he's just done.
I saw, too. I don't even know how people handle this. I think it was Wednesday.
This is the nor'easter.
Oh, that's the nor'easter. That's the nor'easter thing. Oh,
I think
okay.
It's the nor'easter.
Well, I saw.
Or it could just be South or North Dakota.
I think it just be, could be cold. It could just be the Midwester. Yeah. That Colorado on, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday, 80 degree day. The next day, it was like sub 30 degrees and snowing everywhere. Can you imagine that type of turnaround? Like, I've experienced a 50-degree weather shift in Arizona before, but it didn't go to snow. It was like, you know, 80 degrees down to like a 40 or 30-degree night or something like that.
It was 120 to 70. Like, that's
maybe
our,
that's what it was. Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
That's our 50-degree.
Can you imagine 80 degrees then to just like blizzard snow, 30-degree mornings?
No, thank you. Pass. Like, you know. We know what we get here, and it is unrelenting, and sometimes we'll complain about it because it is unbelievably hot for way too big of a chunk of the year, and it doesn't seem to be cooling down as rapidly as it normally does. So, we don't have to shovel snow. We don't have to drive on snow. You know, we don't have to deal with hurricanes or floods or anything. I think there's been one earthquake since I moved here. And I've been here 25 years. So
there might have been two. There was one a couple of years ago, by the way. I remember so vividly. And it might have been more than a few years ago, but I was laying in bed. I just remember the experience. Laying in bed, my kid was asleep, and Leah and my wife and I were laying in bed. It was like 9 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden, everything, like, there's this feeling, if you've never been in an earthquake, I lived in California. I was in the, like, 89 earthquake. I was outside when it was happening, the crazy one. I've been through a bunch of them. And there's this feeling that happens as the earthquake is going on. Do you know that really bad sense of fear that can come over you? There's a sense of, like, like stomach altering fear where you it like catches your breath. That triggers in your body as the earthquake is about to set up. And it was like a preamble. At least it does for me. And it's this preamble. I was like, oh, what's happening? Like, I could feel it as it was coming up. And then in a place where there's not earthquakes when it happens, it literally feels like the end of the world is happening.
I don't remember that one. I don't think I felt it.
It wasn't huge. It was at night. It wasn't crazy or anything like that, but just earthquakes are just altering altogether.
I do remember the one where I was sitting out at a table. My mom and my grandmother were sitting there. I was over at their house for whatever reason. And I was like, who is shaking this table right now? I'm like, stop shaking it. And then they're like, we're not shaking it. And then I looked and the water in the pool was sloshing around. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess this is an earthquake. So, and then my uncle came running out, and he's like, y'all feel that? And
I just go to everything with
he
your
just
uncle.
Yells because he's deaf. Like, it was there was no reason to yell. We were sitting right there. But he's, y'all feel that? So he was deaf. So, I mean, that was pretty much. So he was just always yelling. But, and like, yeah, he said, apparently, apparently, it had happened in Mexico, and we felt the tremors, the aftershock, whatever it is.
The one that we had,
broke my fish tank, by the way.
Did it really?
It cracked my fish tank.
The one we had that recently, one, it was like, it was in L.A. It was like one that happened in like you know, like lower than L.A. I don't know if it was in like Baja or something like Mexico, but it was like really, really, really southern California that hit over into Arizona. So, again, not that Midwestern people deal with any of that stuff, but... heat,
well,
snow.
They got fracking in the Midwest now, so they don't have to deal with the earthquakes, but the fracking companies, our guy Nolan said he lives in Oklahoma. He says, I've been through a million earthquakes because all they do is frack around.
And here, then they can light their water on fire. That's always fun.
But at least there's tornadoes.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about DFS, right? At least I can play DFS. Your water might be on fire, your earth might be shattering, and you might have a blistering cold, but at least you can play daily fantasy sports. Is that a sell you've ever heard? My Lord.
At least you can get Lamar Jackson in that lineup. So
what else can you ask for? Patrick Mahomes and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and snow and sleet and all the other crazy stuff. So I don't know how we were this week. I've already constructed my lineup. So let's go through DraftKings. You want to go through, want to talk about some deals before we set our lineups, or you want to go through the lineup?
Let's do the lineup first. Okay, what do you got? I always find that fun. For me, I've got, like I said, Lamar Jackson against Cincinnati as my quarterback at 6,900. Nice. I went one expensive and one cheap running back. I went Alvin Kamara against Jacksonville. I think he's going to be heavily involved, and the Welsh has called this one. Are you just going to call his 200-yard game until he has it? Is that how it's going to go?
Or am I going to do what? My Alvin Kamara, do you say?
Yeah. Are you going to call his 200-yard game until he just has it?
Yeah, probably. It'll probably be a week. Unless it's like a really bad matchup, I'll probably stick to that.
All right, so I got him for 8,000, and then I went with the Welsh hates this pick, Adrian Peterson, 4,500, but Miami is dead last in stopping the run.
Chris Thompson.
32 out of 32, so Adrian Peterson at 4,500 for me. And I went middling with all of my wide receivers here. I'm going to, you know, follow the Will Fuller trend at 6,000. I'm going to have him. I'm going to have Larry Fitzgerald against Atlanta at 6,100 and Keenan Allen at 7,000 against my Steelers, because the last time Keenan Allen played the Steelers, I believe he had 386 catches. I could be a little high on that, but I remember it was in that range somewhere.
312 or something like that. Rerun it again. Run it back.
I'm not done. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Swain, because James O'Shaughnessy, torn ACL, done for the year, and Jacksonville still likes to get the tight end involved. I'm not super confident in Jeff Swaim, but he's $2,900 bucks, very, very cheap. So I'm all about taking a cheap tight end. And then my flex is Kerryon Johnson against Green Bay because Green Bay is not great against the run. And my defense, I'm going with the Washington Redskins against Miami. So $3,200, very cheap. So running it down one more time, the Welsh. Lamar Jackson, Adrian Peterson, Alvin Kamara, Will Fuller, Larry Fitzgerald, Keenan Allen, Jeff Swaim, Kerryon, and the Redskins defense.
Boy, I like your lineup a lot on DraftKings this week. Do you like your DraftKings more than FanDuel?
No.
Of course you don't.
I like my FanDuel better.
You won on FanDuel ever?
I have no idea. So
I'm not sure you have. You should start liking your DraftKings. I like that DraftKings lineup a lot.
Yeah, it's I like it. There are risks, and but I mean, you got to have them somewhere, and I'm okay with Swaim and Peterson, so they could really pay off. And I really like the matchups that I have for my wideouts because Atlanta sucks against the pass, and so does Kansas City. We know that, and the Steelers just never game plan correctly to stop the main thing. The thing that hurt them the last time. So I just think Keenan Allen, you know, it's like watching the Steelers and the Patriots. The Patriots always do the same crap. It's always whatever white guy is over the middle. It was Julian Edelman. It's Chris Hogan. It's whoever, you know, Wes Welker. And the Chargers were doing the same stuff with Keenan Allen last time we played him. And that might not even be the last time we played him, but that one is burned into my memory. So, I just expect Keenan Allen to have a huge day. So I do like the wideouts a ton.
I am going to continue the trend on defense of Washington. Frankly, I want to take them everywhere. This might be a burn play for us this week because you and I are really holding on to that. Like, I remember when we were doing the Black Book this week, we were telling Joe about why. He's like, you guys are going to play Washington? It's like, yeah, man, versus Miami. Miami's horrific. Maybe both of these teams could be horrific and they could just be dirty, gross points scored across the board and it's just ugly and sloppy. But I don't know. I think Washington has the ability to maybe get this thing together. Case Keenum is back in the lineup. You know, he can run an efficient, maybe not effective offense, but efficient enough. Chris Thompson's been good. Terry McLaurin's back. Recipe for Washington to have some offense. And I think their defense against a team like Miami is going to shine. So it's an easy play for me. And I think on FanDuel, they actually were priced a little bit heavier where, I don't remember. I mean, $3,200 on Washington seems a little bit high, but it's against Miami. Who cares? We're both playing that. So I'm going to continue that trend. My offense, I got a little bit different than I've been going because I'm a little teaser. I'm going cheap on flex this week. And I usually don't.
Whoa.
I like to play it big, swing it big on flex. And I'm not doing that this week, but I do feel I'm being sneaky. So quarterback. Matt Ryan against the Arizona Cardinals.
Love it.
Love that play at $6,400. There's a lot of good quarterback plays, and that's one of my favorites. Running backs, didn't go crazy high end, but I went with a couple bigger names. I'm going with your boy James Conner because I think he's priced really fair this week. $5,600, no Jalen Samuels. They're going to have to get him the ball. I think he could be decent in the pass game. And I think Pittsburgh is going to be surprisingly effective on offense. I don't know if they're going to win this game, but I think they could be surprisingly effective on offense. And that's going to run through James Conner.
Now, you said on the Black Book, you jerk.
What'd I say? Oh, I was saying that they're... Well, no, I didn't say that they weren't going to be effective.
Me.
I just said that, like...
It's hilarious that Bogman lives in a world where he thinks the Steelers can win this game.
No, I said...
That was your exact quote.
That wasn't the exact... I said, I like that you think that the Steelers can win the game. I'm excited when you think the Steelers can win a game. That's what it was. Not that I was being condescending. I like it.
Yeah. You're never condescending. Right.
My second running back is kind of similar to the David Johnson play last week, which ended up working out with 150 total yards. This is a week I think we really need Le'Veon Bell to get going. And Sam Darnold is back. And he might be able to move the offense a little bit more effectively. I don't love Dallas, but I do like that Le'Veon Bell is the heavy piece here. And I was going through the running backs. I mean, maybe I could find myself someone better. But if I was going in the 6,000 range, I mean, Aaron Jones is interesting. He was a tiny bit more. I like Eckler. He's the same amount as Le'Veon Bell. But then you have to go a lot cheaper. The guys under Todd Gurley's a big question. Derrick Henry might be a decent play. Ooh, now I kind of want to change. But I'm going to stick with Le'Veon Bell. $6,400 against Dallas Cowboys. Sam Darnold, get him the ball. Now, wideouts, I went more expensive. Going with DeAndre Hopkins. He's not the most expensive. He's actually priced, I think, relatively cheap comparative to his talent. This is the week against Kansas City for him to go off. Big DeAndre Hopkins play. I'm going with Cooper Kupp against the San Francisco 49ers because I think this is another big play. Frankly, I wouldn't even be afraid to. Where is stupid Robert Woods?
I think they were such masochists. We both took the guy going against our own team.
Of course we did. Oh, Robert Woods is 5,600. Okay, let me ask you this, Bogman. Here's my other play at 5,600 as well. Juju Smith-Schuster against the Clippers.
Go with Woods.
You think I go with Woods and Kupp?
Sure. Stack them. By the way, did you know that?
I'm going to stick with Juju.
If you just went with pass catching, that Christian McCaffrey has outscored Brandon Cooks this year.
That doesn't surprise me.
Just in pass catching.
Eckler has outscored Brandon Cooks in pass catching.
Well, Eckler's almost outscored everybody in pass. I know. 15 passes last week.
And should have got Christian McCaffrey in that lineup. That really should have been the play. Get Christian McCaffrey in your stupid
he's
lineup.
The most expensive now, of course. And, you know, he had the back thing, but they said that that's just like, look, you know, he's just, by the way, the back thing. When Rappaport, whoever put it on Twitter, just everyone made the same joke. Well, you know what the joke is, too.
My
back injury.
My back?
No. It was, he had to miss practice carrying the team, Yeah. Oh, so everybody.
That makes sense.
Every single person in the world. More people than Antonio liked Antonio Brown's tweet.
Wow. All right. Tight end, I've got Jimmy Graham, like him as a play against the Lions. And then here is my flex play this week, Bogman. At 4,300, Malcolm Brown with the Rams against 49ers. Because Todd Gurley's in question. And they were asked about Todd Gurley coming up this week, and McVay was kind of heavily talking about the depth at running back and Malcolm Brown. So I'm going with a full-on crazy play here. So to reiterate, Matt Ryan, James Conner, Le'Veon Bell, DeAndre Hopkins, Cooper Kupp, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jimmy Graham, Malcolm Brown, and the Washington Redskins defense.
I just don't like this. This Todd Gurley rhetoric, you know, I think he's going to be fine. I think you should find someone else to replace Malcolm Brown. Can we find you somebody else? How much was he?
Eventually found Malcolm Brown.
Yeah, because he's going to get two carries, dude.
He's going to get more than two carries. He's getting all the carries.
He's going to get two carries, and you're going to be so pissed off that you played him. do you have any money left over?
Nope.
All right. And he was how much? You said 4,200?
4,300.
Ito Smith? 4,300 nope. Against Arizona.
Nope.
I'd rather do that.
Nope.
I'd rather do all these guys. Penny, phrasing. I would. Rashad Penny against Cleveland. I'd rather have that. Lat Murray for 3,700 against Jacksonville. He got more involved.
There is an adjustment I could maybe make at wideout.
Dude, you should take Mark Walton for the Dolphins at 3,000.
You know I've got
3,000.
I've got an adjustment I'm going to make. On the other side of the break, I will let you know what it is. Malcolm Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, they're coming out. I've got a new wide receiver, and I'm going to have a new flex option. And then, it's not only on the other side of the break, it's on the other side of the next hour. We'll also get through our FanDuel, and then we're going to preview everything that's coming up in Week 6. So don't you go anywhere. More Bogman and the Welsh coming up in my new lineup.
Do all the guys.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.